Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, check number 19. Yes, sir. Okay.
Tada rajas tamo bhava. Kamala bhadayas chaye. Chaiti tarana vidang. Stittam satve prasiddhati. Tada rajas tamo bhava. Kamala bhadayas chaye. Chaiti tarana vidang. Stittam satve prasiddhati. Tada rajas tamo bhava. Kamala bhadayaschaye. Chaite tarana vidang. Stittam satve prasiddhati.
At that time, Raja, in the mode of passion, Samara, mode of ignorance, Bhavaha, the situation, Kama, lust and desire, Lobha, hankering, Adaya, others, Cha, and Ye, whatever they are. Jeta, the mind. Etai, by these. Stittam, I mean, sorry. Anavidam, without being affected. Stittam, being fixed. Satve, in the mode of goodness. Prasiddhati, thus becomes fully satisfied.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. His divine grace. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's mode of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Purport. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. Isn't that nice? A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. That's us, every living entity. This is his natural, normal constitutional position. We're running a fever right now. We have a touch of the material energy. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta or Atma Nandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of an inactive fool. They would sometimes say ignorance is bliss, but not like that. The inactive fool is in a state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-realized Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This stage of perfection is obtained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter. I think I'll do some verses in, as we go along. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Savakaya Chaksu Maritanyena Tasmai Chu Gurave Namaha Jaitam Suryatopam Gorma Mamanda Mater Gati Matsarva Sva Padambo Jo Radha Madana Momo Radha Madana. So, of course, we think of this, as soon as we hear the soul becomes contaminated, we have a picture of water that's coming down and it falls into the mud. The water is still pure, but now it doesn't look pure. It looks like mud. And when the living entity comes in the mode, in contact with the mode of passion, he becomes conditioned by that mode, generally speaking. So here it says that the soul's activity becomes adulterated. So the same way, when you purify it, it becomes unadulterated. And this is the process that we're following right now, Chaito, Darpan, and Marjana. We're cleansing the mirror so we can reflect Krishna's qualities instead of the qualities of the modes of nature. Okay. The diseased activities are expressed. So it says, the soul's activities become adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. That's nice to reflect on for a moment, because the soul has activity that's being expressed here, and when one's separated from the activities of the soul, he's still looking for the same things. He's looking for his longevity, he's looking for knowledge of how to be in a loving exchanges, and he's looking for that ananda. But because he's in the influence of the the covering potencies, all his activities are perverted. So in Krishna consciousness, we're learning how to find the ability to control which potency of the Lord we're going to be directed by. That, and we're following a progression in this chapter specifically. We can just start back at 16 for a moment. It says, we're talking about getting through the knot, this ahankar, getting, it says, with sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work. So in this verse, it's pointing out he's cut through it, and he's happy. So it says, how does he do it? By remembering the person of Godhead. Therefore, who won't pay attention to his message? And the next verse explains how to get that urgency, how to get the priority to listen. And it says, O twice born sages, by serving those devotees that are completely free from all vice, a great service is done. So this is, it's done by means of service. It says, by such service, one gains the affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So we get the inclination to hear by service. And that's very important, because what happens when one develops that urge to hear? It says, Sri Krishna, the person of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So we know what properly heard and chanted means. It's a 325-25 verse. Who knows that verse? 325-25. Oh yeah, say it all nice together. Yeah. Okay, by in association of devotees, just like presently, we're hearing in association of devotees, that it's very powerful when we do it like that. And this same verse is saying, because you've served the devotees, the pure devotees, the great service is done, and as a result of that, one gets this urge to hear. And when one hears properly in the association of devotees, Krishna cleanses the desires in the heart, because that's our problem, that we have the reactionary binding knot. So this is also expressed in a purport. Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami in the purport to 410. Well, actually, before that one, you could just say, I'm starting to jump around. I got to be careful. But in 410 is that the famous... Yeah, Ado Shraddha Sadhusanga Bhajana Kriya Narta Nivritti. So this process is being followed. The nine stages that one goes through, from first having even a little jnata sukriti, a little hearing a harinam, getting the book, taking some prasadam, then associating with devotees. When he associates with the devotees, he gets interested in hearing more. And then as he hears, then what happens when he hears? Oh, Krishna acting within his heart. That's magic. Just by reading these books, coming in contact with this, and Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, it says that these are the nine processes of pure devotional service, these nine processes, beginning with hearing, as opposed to generally people, like we read just a little while ago about the Samsiddhi Haditoshanam, that by following the Varnashram system, it's perfected when Krishna is pleased. But we know that from the conversation with Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, he says it can be external, his Varnashram system. So what does he mean, external and internal? How is it internal when we're hearing, but external when we're doing our activities? So that requires a little bit of knowledge to sink in. And we understand the process of self-realization is discerning, being able to tell what is matter and what is spirit, the control of both. So the matter, it's basically broke down into seven, four, that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and the false ego, which is the connecting element there. And then it expands that group of eight into another group of five, that the body, when it's together and functioning, it has senses. So we have our five knowledge acquiring senses, our eyes, we like to look at something, our nose, we like to smell something. In fact, I just was listening to a lecture by Prabhupada, and it was kind of funny. He was talking about seeing God. He says, how do you see God? So he was giving this, for instance, it was a 1966 lecture, and he's saying, a friend was talking to this other friend about some cake, and he says, it was such good cake, and he says, well, bring me a piece and I'll see. So did he mean he was going to look at the cake and tell that it was good cake? No, it meant that he was going to eat it. So he says, you see through your tongue. He says, that's what it meant. He says, you can see through all of your senses, just like we understand. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, when we don't have the qualification for seeing Krishna all the time, he says, you can see Krishna in water. I'm the taste of water. So Prabhupada in his purport, he points out, how can you see Krishna in water? You look at water, okay. He says he's the taste of water, and not only is he the taste, but he's also the supplier. So in thinking about what makes bhakti yoga different than all the other types of yoga, what is this yoga? And it's that it's Krishna personally. So we have to actually, just reading the verse, Madhya 19:160, where a devotee must learn to distinguish between the bhakti creeper, we have our bhakti lata beach, and other creepers. And those are sometimes like thoughts or weeds. I go to the prison on Saturday, and there's they put sayings up on the walls, good sayings. They erase the other ones, and they have just good ones. So this one here was, the mind is like a garden, okay, and the thoughts are like seeds. And he says, you can plant flowers, or you can plant weeds. So the same way we have the Bhakti Lata Bij is a seed of love for Krishna. It's a premanjana seed. It grows, like an apple seed grows into an apple. So the seed of the Bhakti Lata Bij is a prema seed. It grows into the fruit of prema. So when we water it by the nine processes, hearing, chanting, remembering, it's growing. However, it says one has to learn to distinguish what is the bhakti and what is not bhakti. Because when you become, as you're watering, as you're learning Krishna conscious philosophy, as you're chanting, as you're associating with devotees, so many other things can also growing. So when we would think about how do you distinguish what is the bhakti and what is other, because it says one should just distinguish one from the other. So how are we going to distinguish which is bhakti? That's a question. Can I get any comments on it? How are you going to distinguish what is bhakti in our garden and what are the ones that may look just like bhakti that are also getting water? So anyway, I can either... Oh, we got a hand.
You get trained eye by the perfect garden.
Oh. So the guru gives us that knowledge of how to distinguish it. It's very personal, and they generally would quote the 1111 Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So he says, it's not this. What is two things it's not? Yeah, so it's not jnana, it's not karma. So specifically, in today's verse, we're talking about karma, how the not... Oh, that's Monday's class. I got another class in my mind. All right. So we got this one here, that what's taking place is when we're chanting, because in today's verse, I'll read it again, as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart. So we're noticing the location of this verse is the heart. This is what it's talking about. So it's in Krishna consciousness, there's external and internal activities. And sometimes we concentrate more on the external. Sometimes we concentrate more on the internal. And most of the time, they're supposed to run parallel. But according to your internal situation, your external situation generally manifests. However, it's kind of easier, it's a kind of a cheating process to externally manifest some symptom before the internal has actually generated it. Should I give an example of that? Well, if we come to the temple regularly, people will think, oh, he's a nice devotee, he always comes to the temple. Well, they used to say things like that. Nowadays, everybody's understood more that Krishna consciousness is in a cookie cutter situation, that there's many situations that come up. So the internal activity is most important, and we've learned that over the years. So that kind of shows that we all started off with just doing the external activities, and then these changes take place in the heart, and we're starting to see what the real bhakti is and the real qualities, because devotional service, as it's mentioned here, it manifests in the heart. And then here it also, the verse again, as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart. That's a really nice thing to have established in the heart. The effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust and desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Doesn't say that they're gone from the mind, but then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. So this happiness in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada points out, this is our natural position. I recall when people would say, how are you doing, how you feel? And being kind of the wise guy that I am, I've mentioned this before, I say, well, I'm actually Satchitananda, but I got a touch of the material energy. And that's, you know, like you have a touch of the flu, and you know how that can make you feel. So when you have a touch of this material energy, it generates lust, desire, hankering, the modes of passion, ignorance. And then, so how do you feel because of that? You don't feel that your constitutional position of happiness. And of course, the part that's left unsaid, there's a nice verse, 320, 430-20, talks about the Brahma-Buddha position. Is at that point, Krishna's always with us. Krishna's everything. That's realized after many births, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. But that doesn't mean he's not here now. It's just we're not seeing him because our vision is being blocked by these desires and hankering in the modes of passion and ignorance. So when one clears that passion and ignorance, what's he going to see? What's really there? He's going to see Krishna. And just like Prabhupada points out, that the soul is not inactive, well, the super soul is not inactive either. Krishna's not inactive. He's always waiting. Day by day, one will finally turn his way. He remembers the different songs. Two birds sitting in a tree. One bird's Krishna, one bird's me. I'm always in distress, trying to find happiness. Krishna's waiting day by day when I'll finally turn his way. When he's a kid, mother probably know that. So that same point is just like Mother Yasoda, they used to make all Krishna's pastimes into songs and rhymes, and they'd be singing all day long. So devotees, we also like to do that, especially when there's children. You're not looked at as being a little crazy. So you can get away with doing that when there's still children around. But if you do that as an adult, some people may look at you strangely. All right, so we're going to get back. So Krishna becomes interactive. He's always giving us instructions. We don't hear him. He's always present with us, but we're not recognizing him. But as soon as one becomes purified of there's some nice verses in 11th canto where it says there's a 28, sometimes it's 24, it's 23, 26, 28, of seeing all the separated energies of Krishna, the earth, water, fire, air. But it says instead of seeing the 28 items, you see one item, the cause of the other 28 items. You're seeing the cause. So now you can see the living entity without material coverings. This is free from designations, and it has a very high position in our philosophy to be free from designations, because that's the modes of passion. And here we're talking about being free from that because of this. It's interesting, it mentions satisfied, this prasiddhi, becoming fully satisfied. So that's natural to be satisfied. We're dissatisfied because we're disconnected from Krishna. So devotional service means connecting to Krishna in such a loving way. Just like we had mentioned the water, I'm the taste of water. So Krishna gives us these senses and he gives us the sense objects. All he's asking us to do is to remember him while we're drinking the water. So when you have a nice cup of cold water on a hot summer day and it's quenching your thirst, just remember Krishna with a feeling that this is so nice. Like if you've ever been thirsty and someone gives you water, you think, thank you. That's really nice. I'm dying of thirst. So we're dying of thirst in this spirit, in the material world. So we're to think of Krishna, he says, just think of me. But underlying thinking of him is thinking of him lovingly. Everybody likes to be thought of nicely. So Krishna says, just remember me. Just think of me when you're drinking water, that I've engineered this whole system. So instead of seeing all the separated energies, you see the cause that Krishna is made this material world. And since you're not a part of it anymore, you're separate from it, you can remember him, and in that remembering Krishna, you can be satisfied. So I'll read some more of the purport. So the soul's activities become adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the disease activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity. the effect of devotional service becomes manifest. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of the effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of vasuddhi, or the state of unmixed sattva, or shuddha sattva. Only in this shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness. Therefore, he harms no one. And we know that Arjuna seemed to be in a quandary because he had to kill everybody, but he harmed no one. So that ability to hold those two thoughts in your mind requires knowledge. Your sambandha jnana, it needs knowledge of, I guess, because today I just remembered that nice verse about the 28 items, because Krishna says that's the position of vijnana, and that's the position of right before Ananda. There's five stages: anamoya and pranamoya, jnanamoya, vijnanamoya, and anandamoya. So the vijnanamoya is the stage of the living entity when he's acting in his devotional capacity, abhideya, and he knows how to contact Krishna. Of course, that anandamoya, that's actually Krishna, but you're touching Krishna now. You've learned how to having this other verse come into my mind, that you made contact, we're making contact with Krishna. And just like if you have two extension cords on, let's say, on your table, and one of them's plugged in and one of them isn't, how do you know which one's plugged in and which one isn't? Well, some people might do that. Yeah, if you create a situation where the amps can come through, the volts can come through, you'll notice that it has its own capacity. So Krishna's capacity, when you're plugged in to Krishna, you experience that you're touching Satchidananda, and you're feeling Satchidananda. Now that Satchidananda you're feeling, in one sense is you, in one sense it's Krishna, but it's the connection that enables it. And the vijnan stage, which is what we're talking about here in a slightly different wording, is having this connection with Krishna, because that's natural. We're breaking the connection because of these modes of nature. And how do we get out of these modes of nature? Was by serving the great soul. Great service is done. One gets the potential, he gets the urgency, he gets the empowerment to read, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and apply that in his life, because that's the media by which this, it's all established by the mercy of the Guru. And right afterwards, let's see, if we go to 262 and 263 and 264. All right. Well, for most of us, we don't know the numbers. So, the 263. All right. 262. Everybody has practical realization of this one. While contemplating the objects of the senses, what's going to happen? Everybody who sees billboards up along the road knows this idea. Just get them to look at this new fancy gadget every day as they're driving to work. And after about a month, they're going to say, all right, I got to have one of those. So they contemplated it. That's the whole idea of advertising. Material world's advertising It's actually false advertising because it doesn't really work. If you get this, you'll be happy. So while contemplating the object of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. I got to have it. And then from such attachment, lust will come. Then I'll be able to enjoy it. And from that, it didn't work. He's angry. And then what happens? Oh, you ever been angry? Phew. You can't think straight. From anger, complete delusion arises. You're overwhelmed. And from delusion, bewilderment of memory. I don't care. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. And they made a noise. Bloop. Okay. But Krishna recovers us from that right away. This is the verse I was getting to. When a person becomes free from attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through the regulated principles of freedom, he can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So that sounds good. How do you get the mercy? By following the orders of the spiritual master. So we want to keep going back to that central point because that's the most auspicious event that's taken place in millions of lifetimes, that we've connected with a bona fide spiritual master. And by following his instructions, we're getting the complete mercy of the Lord, which is in the next verse. Oh, maybe it was that. All right. Oh, so what happens when you get the mercy? Does anybody remember the next verse? I mean, just think. Here it is. You have two choices. One, you're going to contemplate the objects of the senses. You're forced to. 3.5 says everybody's forced to act helplessly. So we're being forced. Who likes to be forced? You do this. You do that. You do this. I don't want to do it. All right. So we're being forced. And it says, but by the mercy of the Lord, we're allowed not to be forced. We're given choice. The first time we've had choice, real choice, that's significant, to follow the orders of the spiritual master. By following the orders, you get the mercy. What's the mercy that we're reading about today is... let's see, we got the urge to hear. So that's one of the barometers that we can use when we want to check ourselves. Because it says we're actually getting really close to it. We're up to 265. Maybe I'll go a couple more just to get the continuity of what's being said in the second chapter. Because sometimes we look at one verse and we isolate it. But there's such a nice continuity in these verses. Okay. So what happens when you get the mercy? For one who is thus satisfied, there's that word again, in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. Ah, no more threefold miseries. Here today they were satisfied and he doesn't have lust and anger. How do we do it? Remember how we did it? We did it from starting at verse, what was it? 16. By service. We're doing this service. And Prabhupada explained, we should see the effect of what we're doing. That was in the lecture on Govardhan Puja. That when Krishna was talking to his father, he says, if you know what's supposed to be happening, then you won't be cheated. If you don't know what's supposed to be happening, they can tell you anything, but there's no connection. So we should see what is the effect of seeing of service to the spiritual master. One, if we're doing it properly, one will get the mercy to be more interested in hearing. And then as he hears, it'll start to come together and we can come out of the bodily conception of life where we can see all the different elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, the senses, the sense objects. We get to see the whole thing, which is Another verse. You remember the 429.69? It says, Krishna consciousness means seeing this cosmic manifestation with the same consciousness, with the same mentality that Krishna does. And here it talked about this Vasudeva state of seeing Krishna everywhere. He says it's not always possible, but it becomes possible, just like the planet Rahu becomes visible in the presence of the full moon, the eclipse. So that meant Prabhupada's mercy to give us a purport to it, is that sometimes you can see all of your material desires grouped as one unit, call it material desires, as opposed to this material desire, that material, unlimited ocean of material desires. It just groups into one item, and that item shrinks and shrinks to, you can easily just step over it, and that's the whole ocean of material existence, and that's our material desires, and that's by Krishna's mercy that comes through following orders of the spiritual master. This happened in today's verse here. Oh, I was just going to finish a couple more verses. I'm going to go up to 70. Just up to 70, we're at 65. Okay, thus established in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries, material existences, exist no longer. In such a satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. So we're following what's happening here. You're listening to the spiritual master, following tapasya, penance. It says to follow the orders of the spiritual master is considered penance. So that penance just means not listening to the demands of the mind and body that say, oh, you can go back to sleep, oh, you can do this, you can do that, all the things that it's mentioned. We have those tendencies. One may be restricted from sense desire, though this, the desire for the senses remains. So it's not that the desire goes away, it's just that by following the order of the spiritual master, he's given shelter of not having to perform the sinful activities. Because now he understands, I don't want to do that. If I do that, I'm going to suffer. There's really no real happiness in it anyway. But he's forced, unless he has a shelter of his obedience to the order of the spiritual master. So just 66, just a couple more, and then I'll finish the other one. And then it says, Krishna, after he explains how you'll be fully satisfied, he says, but one who's not. So here's the other side. What will happen if you're not doing this? For one who's not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither a transcendental intelligence, he can't see the bodily, the soul through the bodily conception of life, can have neither transcendental intelligence nor steady of mind, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be happiness without peace? And Prabhupada, in his purport, he said this one sentence, which is just, I find it very nice to use because people experience this. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due. Who wants to know what disturbance? Anybody ever get disturbed? Is that ever a possibility that could happen? Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with steady mind, bring about peace. Isn't that an amazing statement there? So the disturbance of the mind is one of an ultimate goal. So you can work backwards if you ever get disturbed. that is because I've lost the focus again. The focus to that Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna sets everything up, you can use this in Krishna's service. That's the great blessing in Krishna consciousness. Make the best use of a bad bargain. So everything that takes place, underneath it all, is Krishna's loving will that's invested in everything. So there's a trick to that. That's why we need good association of devotees and discuss Krishna consciousness philosophically and find with someone who cares about Krishna, about Prabhupada, about you, about every living entity. And then Krishna gives each other intelligence to be real friends to each other. And then it says, we go back and forth again. Here we're, as a strong wind sweeps away a boat on water, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. Therefore, next verse, O mighty armed with knowledge, one whose senses are restrained from their sense objects is certainly a steady intelligence. Well, how do you do that? Oh, next verse. What is night for all beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. And what is a time of awakening for all beings is the night for the introspective sage. That's a little, let's say, code. It's a little hard to decipher exactly what it means. But the simple way that I've understood it is you've got to think about these things on your own. You have to internalize it. You have to think about it. Not just be external, but trying to connect up internally when it talks about what the mind is. You have to isolate. This thing that's going on inside, it has these voices, and what's it saying? So it takes a while. I remember when I was in college, I was a real simple mechanic, but my parents said that I should go to college so I could open my own garage. And I went to college, and you had to take a requirement, introduction to psychology. And I said, oh, people, I always wondered what, you know, they're a strange group. I never quite fit in or figured out what was going on there. So I transferred into that ultimately as my major instead of business management. And when I found out, it took me like almost 3 years to just get their vocabulary, what they were talking about. What are they talking about? And then when I finally figured out what they were talking about, I said, they're making it up. Because I was a mechanic, which is kind of a very practical, you can't talk your way out of it. The person brings their car in to fix it, and it doesn't work when you leave. It has to have a practical result. So I said, but the context is incomplete. You don't have a beginning, you don't have a cause, you don't have the original things. So I actually kind of got in trouble with that. I may have mentioned it. I went to the dean because I was innocent and I naive and stupid, I guess. So I said to the dean, I said, you know, dean, some of this stuff you say is not true. And I was just kind of like, did you know? And he said, yeah, I know. I said, but then what's going on? He says, this is called business. And I said, business? You're really giving us the business here. You know, so anyway, he did say something profound. He says, I suggest you talk to a Hindu holy man. So within 6 months of that conversation, I was with Prabhupada. So, and what's the book they give me? It was these little teeny books. It was called Answers by citing the Lord's Version. I said, oh, finally, it's chapter 9 of the second canto. And he said, Etavade Vijignatsyam, that if you want to know what the truth is, you have to take it to Krishna. the personality of Krishna. And that personality is that he's your friend, he's the proprietor. So that's where the self-awakening comes in, that you're, it's time to think about these things and then structure, because Krishna says to Lord Brahma, 22, I think it is, where he says, I'm very pleased with your ingenuity. You have to, Krishna's, he's given you all these hints, but you have to put it together. And then 70, the verse 70 was second chapter, Bhagavad Gita. A person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires. So how's that? You have an incessant flow of desires that's enough to knock anyone off kilter. He says, but they're not disturbed. And they're entering like a river into the ocean that's ever being filled but still in himself. He alone achieves peace, not the one who strives to satisfy his desires. So just like today, in today's verse, it says, as soon as this irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness. He becomes completely happy. And we also... I don't know if I finished the purport or not. Oh, my. Sorry. All right. The last... we're in the last paragraph or the last sentence. What is it?
But the non-devotee.
What the, but the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. And that way we can remember, that's in 13:8-12, Prabhupada said, unless you're giving someone Krishna conscious, you're actually performing violence. So that was a strong one to internalize, that whoever you meet, you shouldn't give them the instructions of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful and foolish and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with good qualities. It's interesting also, qualities of God, that the word qualification has its connection with quality. It's kind of been lost in the present cheating age that we're in, but they used to be the same word. It's quality and qualification. That was your qualification. And here it mentions he's qualified with the good qualities of God. So where's the verse that we remember when we hear that? Saksadhari Twaina. The Twaina, you know that when that's the seventh Guru Vastaka prayer that we say at Mangarti or whenever we can, that he's the most confidential servant, but in the word for word it says Saksat directly, Saksadhari Twaina, directly manifesting the qualities of Krishna. So when the mirror is cleansed, it's reflecting Krishna's qualities, which is today's, it's the purport in today's verse. So a devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. What a wonderful quantitatively such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively both the Lord and his devotees are one and the same. So that's Saksadhari directly. So, thank you for your kind attention. I hope I said something that was useful today. It was kind of, off the cuff. So, are any questions or comments?
I was wondering the first part.
Thank you.
The first beginning of the part of Prabhupada putting into
a living entity. That
then he says that the Brahmabuddha platform is actually secure.
I'll read it.
Actually following the platform in another place, Vishopanishad, text 16, he says, if you say that you come down from
Brahmaputra platform. That is also fallen position, Prabhupada said, because there is no service. But here,
first part, a living being in his normal constitution.
See what Prabhupada said, living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence called Brahma Bhuta. And not
Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param.
But so, that's a junction. That's
yes, and this verse is a junction.
I understand, but here the, is this the Vedic form or this is?
Well, I was saying it because in this verse he's talking about the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness a lot of times in Brahma-Bhuta are put together. So, but in that mode of goodness, the Brahma, Brahma, and he did, Namo Brahmanaya Devaya Go Brahmanya Cha Cha. It's a very special condition, this Brahma-Bhuta position, a real Brahman who's qualified with his eight different qualities that they have. They're waking up. It's twilight. They're not fully awake, but they're not sleeping anymore. So in that position, it's such a wonderful, joyful condition between the living entity and Krishna because he understands material nature. He sees material nature. He's controlling himself not to be. It's like if Krishna says, "Do you want me or something else?" So in the past, I said, "What else you have?" And so then he says, "Well, I got this stuff that you can do anything you want with it. You can be the lord of it. You can manipulate it. You can do anything you want. It's endlessly mutable." And I said, "Well, let me think about that for a moment." And poof, here I am. So I said, "I've thought about it now." And so Krishna says, "Now what do you want? Do you want me or something else?" So what's the other answer as opposed to what else you got? You want me or something else? No, I only want you. So at this Brahma-Bhuta stage, he's showing you the full material energy. And it's got a little barb on it because Durga there is now acting as your agent of deliverance. So whenever you do something, kind of like, I told you so, right? You still wanted this, the first class intelligence, he learns by hearing. Second class, all right, you're going to have to go through this one again. But you're going through it, something like Judd Bharat. He, a little inattention for a deer. I mean, who can't be attracted? You see a deer walk in the yard, you stop and look how pretty they are, you know, as long as he's not jumping in front of your car while you're driving. So you look at the deer, so he, it seems in one sense innocent, but his next life he was very careful about that. So when this learning stage, there's a special rasa for that. Was it avabodha ras, which means there's an exchange, you know, the happiness you feel when you're remembering slokas and stories and telling people about it. Krishna enjoys that. But that's, it's not, we're not at the end yet. We're still in this, but this stage that we're at, Krishna becomes interactive. So this Brahma-Bhuta stage that they're talking about here.
The question is this a normal constitutional position? That means you're supporting the idea that we are actually from there.
Okay. You want me to read it? The self-satisfied, that one or the line before? This
the first
is
line, the first line.
The living entity's normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. In spiritual bliss.
And then Prabhupada says, this state of existence is
called Brahma-Bhuta. So you would like something more like the Ladini potency as opposed to Brahma-Bhuta? Because it does say spiritual bliss.
But my question is that, is this correct? That you're supporting this group. I'm not going to name.
Well, they also
say that this is because Prabhupada did say in that platform there's no service, so we never had original service.
Well, a constitutional position of happiness is in Brahman. Isn't it? That's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. The constitutional position of a living entity is Brahman, is happiness. His position of happiness is Brahman. So we could look at that again. And the thing is, Krishna, he's so accommodating that the secrets of Krishna consciousness are revealed through the mercy of the Guru. And for someone who doesn't get it through the mercy of the service to the Guru, then his mind, Krishna says so many things that it's own. You know, there's Radha Kripa Kataksha. You know that those words, the merciful
difference.
There's revelation that takes place,
yeah,
that's different than argument and logic. And it says one can never establish that. So we have Yasha Devi Prabhaktir, that for one who has explicit faith, and other than that, you can have Shruti Smirti Panarachapiti, that if it's not coming through the realization of the heart, through the, and it's confirmed, because if you associate with people that are of the same feather, then everybody thinks the same way. And if you go to a different, I saw this movie some time ago where it was a martial arts movie, and the bad guy had a mask on. They couldn't tell who it was, but they had certain moves, and they said these moves are only taught by one teacher. So they understood who the teacher was by the moves of the disciple. So when one hears a philosophical point, he knows who was the line that came through. Especially as you advance, you start to recognize who speaks like that and where did that information come from. And then we know how Prabhupada spoke and how he speaks, just like here. This is a little bit tricky, but if you have the Yasha Devi Prabhaktir, then it can be revealed. But Maya, she gives us now more ammunition. You know what she says? Maybe it's editorial. It was the editor that made an adjustment here. Maybe it wasn't Prabhupada's version. So this way, there's always something, just like that verse 337, about that the living entities are an expansion of the pleasure potency of the Lord. That gives a lot of people trouble, that one. I mean, I've seen people reject Prabhupada just on that statement.
No.
Yeah. And I can tell you afterwards.
I mean, we are part of the pleasure potency also.
Yeah. But he said that we didn't come from that pleasure potency. We came from well, that's another subject. But I'm just saying, you can tell who they hear from by who they speak. So the decoration, the karnapur, the decoration of the ears, is to be able to speak the words of the spiritual master, to be able to quote them. So we just want to be instruments for repeating Prabhupada's version, because there's a join the bandwagon, a logical fallacy that if everybody else says this, can everybody else be wrong and only you're right? So in 1962, they had a commercial on television for Camel cigarettes, and it said, can 10,000 doctors, yeah, it's a brand like Marlboro,
oh,
and it says, can 10,000 doctors all be wrong? They all smoke Camel. Can they all be wrong? I wanted to find that on YouTube or something and post it again. Yes, so join the bandwagon is not how one finds Siddhanta. Because can everybody be wrong? Yes. You mean only your guru is right? Yes. That's why we're going back to Godhead and everybody else is going to another place. I better stop. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
This is very interesting.